Apple will let loose on May 7th, but we're wondering, is Finewoven done for? What's going on with the calculator app? What's going on with the iPhone 16 buttons? We're talking about the latest rumors and news bits in this episode of the Macworld Podcast. Welcome to the Macworld Podcast. I'm Roman Loyola here with Jason Cross.
Good morning.
And Michael Simon.
Hello, sir.
Since our last podcast, a lot of rumors and news has hit the wire. So we're going to go over some of the more interesting bits in today's episode. The big news is that Apple announced an event that's going to happen on May 7th. And next week's episode will be our in-depth preview of the event. But for today, we'll quickly offer our initial impressions. And I think I can say that we were surprised that this event is happening.
Yeah.
Completely and totally. Like, even like the people who are allegedly plugged in to Apple and have sources, and this was not on anyone's radar.
Yeah. And it's so late in the spring. It's so close to WWDC and everything. It's odd to do this and just. I mean, I guess they really feel like they have a lot to say about these iPads, but
maybe it's a little desperation from Apple. I mean, they've been very quiet for months. Vision Pro, you know, as mostly expected, didn't really set the world on fire. I mean, there was some initial buzz and now it's kind of all died down. iPhone sales are, from what we read from reports and speculation and channel inventory, all that stuff, are down fairly significantly year over year. Their stock has really taken a tumble since the year started. They're way behind on the AI stuff. Like, there's a lot of challenges they're facing in 2024 that they haven't really had in a while. So maybe this is a way to generate at least, you know, a little hype, a little buzz before WWDC in June. It's been a year and a half since anything came out related to the iPad. Other than that pencil.
And sales are down, and part of that is because things have been so long, but also just because, you know, as phones have gotten bigger, people have needed them less. It's not the kind of thing you need to replace very often. You know, for most people, it's a like, here, I give this to my kid for them to do stuff, to just do activities in the backseat of the car or whatever. Or
yeah, no, for sure. You're right. And they last forever.
Yeah, or I'm just like looking, I'm on the couch watching TV, and this is what I'm going to use to, like, you know, half pay attention and browse the web or whatever. So it lasts forever. It's not like it's not as important as your phone to that it be like so great. So yeah, it's a tough sell. But tablets are getting to be a tougher sell, even if you're Apple. There's going to be a new Apple Pencil. Tim Cook said, "Pencil us in" on his post about it. So that's not a hint.
The invitation literally shows a guy holding a pencil. I mean, it would make sense that a new one is coming, or at least new functionality for the current ones.
If they make another pencil and they're not replacing something in the lineup, they already have a chart on the site for the three Apple Pencils you can buy and like what their features are with like checkboxes. That's a failure. Like, that Apple has to have that on their site.
That they need that, yeah.
And like, they should be looking at that and going, like, we messed up.
And they don't even have, like, different names. Is the Apple Pencil the other Apple Pencil, and then the Apple Pencil with USB-C?
It really is. And the Apple Pencil with USB-C is not like the Apple Pencil without USB-C. It has different features.
Yeah.
So
it's very strange.
They need to clean this up badly. It would be great if this Apple Pencil was, you know, they may still sell the other ones for older tablets, but it'd be great if they just said, like, look, this is the pencil. Going forward, it's all going to use this. It's cross-compatible. It's got all the features. We're done. But something tells me they're going to add a fourth column to that ridiculous chart.
So as far as I know, this event is going to be like all the other recent events where it's basically a pre-recorded event.
It's at 7 o'clock in the morning your time, which is interesting.
Yeah, 7 o'clock Pacific, which makes it, I think, 3 o'clock in the UK, I believe. But as far as an in-studio audience to watch the video there, I'm guessing they'll invite a small number of media members and YouTubers. We don't know if they're going to have a hands-on section for people to look at it, but so that event is happening on May 7th, and we'll do a more in-depth preview show. In the meantime, do you think any Apple will say anything about Finewoven at the event?
Ironically, they might release, like, there's a, so Roman's alluding to a report that says that Apple's going to stop making them. But then a follow-up to that report said that Apple will actually release a new round of spring colors, which makes sense, because if they were going to do that, they would have done it. You know, they would have been in production months ago. And so we actually might hear something about Finewoven at the event or around the event, you know, under the radar and certainly not promoted in any real way. But there might
be some. The original one said that they had shut down the production lines and don't have any plans to start them up again. And that just sounds like they're going to have another plan. I think it said something like the original one, a report said something like, well, they're going to have another non-leather option, like premium option, because they still have the silicone cases. Those are great, but
yep,
they need something. They're not, they don't want to do leather. And Finewoven was universally panned.
I mean, there are leather alternatives out there from other companies that look good. It certainly wasn't a cost thing. I mean, Apple charged a ton for Finewoven. They're expensive.
Yeah, that margin was probably bigger than the typical Apple margin.
You would think. Certainly bigger than leather. I would assume anyway. They were the same price as leather, and they got to be a little bit cheaper.
So I don't have any Finewoven products. Do you? You guys don't either.
I have a few things that that Apple sent with the iPhones back when they launched, and I have a case, the wallet. I don't have one of the watch bands, but yeah, I think I have a couple of cases and the wallet.
But you're not using them on a daily basis.
I'm not using them at all. I used them for about a week just to see, hey, is this as bad as everyone said? And yeah, your keys or anything else in your pocket marks it up, and that you can't rub them out or anything. And they just don't seem particularly well made. It's basically a plastic case with a texture on the outside. Like, it's not, I mean, none of Apple's cases are bad. And I've seen some bad cases, but it's certainly not worth the price. And just in general, not a good replacement for leather. And especially since there are quote unquote vegan leather, like options used in cars and all this other stuff it's a special kind of vinyl that, you know, just feels more like leather. And they could have done that.
Yeah, it seems like an odd effort by Apple. They wanted to make something unique.
Yeah.
Uniquely Apple. And it just seemed like an odd place to put your efforts.
Yeah, it was a swing and a miss, for sure.
Yeah, and when they introduced it, it was a whole thing with, if you remember, that was the skit with Octavia Spencer, I believe it was.
Well, that was going over all of their efforts.
Right, but right.
Their, you know, environmentally
friendly efforts.
Yeah, that was a big deal. It seems like it wasn't well tested. Because you don't have to use one for very long before you start seeing some really obvious problems, and kind of everyone did. So I don't know how it got through product management in Apple, where they were there not people on the team going like, man, I've been using this for a week and look at this thing. Like,
yeah.
And then right. And then everybody else said, oh, it'll be fine. Like, I just don't know how it kind of passed that sort of internal quality control.
Or at least someone says like, hey, we can't charge $80 for this thing. Like, it's just not great. It's not great.
It's weird to me, the Apple products, that they're it's a big company. It's a hard market. I get where some things you use them for a long time and a problem arises or becomes obvious, but some things have problems right from the start that you just wonder how it got pushed through to release. Like the MagSafe Duo charger, like that thing had obvious issues from day one. And you just kind of don't know how it
never got scrapped.
So we may see Finewoven stuff at this iPad event. I guess the true gauge of Finewoven's fate will be at the iPhone 16 release in the fall.
That's when we'll find out if they're doing anything different.
Yeah, if the new cases for the new phone do not include Finewoven, and the new watch do not include Finewoven or any accessories, then we'll know.
The watch bands appear to be holding up a little better, if for no other reason that you don't slam it into your pocket and your in the wall as often. Like, you know, you don't really usually hit your wrist. You just have your, you know, jacket or something over it, and it's somewhat protected. So it's possible that it's just the iPhone cases and not the Apple Watch, but I would think they would just scrap the whole thing. Whatever new material they decide on for the cases would just move over to the watch bands as well.
So whatever faux leather cases they introduced at the iPhone 16 event, those cases will be covering new touch-sensitive buttons on the iPhone 16.
I did my
16.
Best to derail that transition, Roman. I tried. there was no stopping you.
There was an early report that Apple was going to have touch-sensitive buttons. And then there was a report followed up a bit later that said, no, that's not going to happen.
This was last year. So there was a report for the iPhone 15. It was like 2 months of it going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's going to happen. It's not going to happen. And then they were just like, it's not going to happen.
But and then they we didn't hear it's not going to happen, yeah, but it's definitely going to happen next year. We just heard them kind of like, eh, no.
Right. They just decided it wasn't going to be a thing. It wasn't. Ming-Chi Kuo said there was technological hurdles, quote unquote, that they just couldn't overcome. And they just said, all right, forget it.
So now it seems like it's going to happen. Or we're back on that track again of whether it's going to happen or not with the iPhone 16.
So the report is that a Chinese newspaper reported that the company that would make the hardware for the sensors, for those that would be Apple's supplier for that, got a big order from Apple. The report doesn't say, it doesn't have any like, here's how many things they ordered or how much they paid us or anything like that. It's just supposed to be this really big order. Too big for it to be the new capture button, which was expected to be a capacitive like touch button, not a physical clicky button.
The report made it seem like it was all of the buttons. So two volume power.
Possibly not the action button, but the volume buttons and the power button on either side.
Yeah.
And
then the new capture button.
The new capture button was always going to be a capacitive touch button thing. And then they're going to add a couple of little taptic engines on either side near the buttons to do haptic effects.
If you've ever used a MacBook Pro, that's what that is. So if you power down your MacBook Pro, you touch that trackpad and nothing happens.
Yeah, it's like a solid block.
Yeah. But when you use it, it does not it certainly feels like it's being clicked.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of uncanny how smooth it is. It doesn't feel artificial. It doesn't feel delayed or anything like that. So that's the kind of thing that they would do in the iPhone.
It can let them do other stuff as well. It can let them do things where it can detect how hard you're pressing it. So you could do a half press. They'll do this for the capture button, and this is the way a lot of DSLRs and stuff work, where you can kind of half press the shutter to lock in a focus and then move your view or something and then finish pressing it to take the picture, and you'll get like a different response. You'll get like a light click and then like a hard click, things like that. They can do those sorts of things with your power button, with your volume buttons. I can imagine the volume button not being two buttons, but being one long button. And you just tap the top part of it to go up or the bottom part to go down, or you can slide up and down. And they could use the taptic engine to make it feel like a scroll wheel with detents, you know, those like a mouse scroll wheel that goes tick, 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 you know. They could do that. You know, they could do all this cool stuff. I don't know that any of this like massively changes the core functionality of the iPhone. I think it's one of those just, oh, it feels nice to use kind of situations.
I mean, at least in my mind, the change in the button technology isn't a reason for me to go out and buy the new phone.
No.
But it has advantages, though.
The biggest one is that it's less things that can break.
Fewer moving parts.
Yeah, that's the...
Yeah, and it should make the phone more durable because the thinnest parts of the side rails are where the cutouts for the buttons are. The thinnest, the narrowest. So that's the easiest to bend. So if those were a solid piece with just like a fake button shape on it, but it would still be one piece, one machined piece, that would make the side rails harder to bend and more durable. But honestly, the screen breaking is like, that's going to be the first thing on anyone's phone. That's, if you're worried about your phone bending, it's the screens are trashed long before your phone bends.
Yeah. So the front or the back, the glass on the front, the glass on the back, that's what's going to go.
It's always that. So there's maybe some durability things. There's some possible like new functionality because it can detect how hard you press it or swiping up and down on it. You know, there's possibly some things they could do differently. But yeah, mostly it's going to be, oh, this feels nice. Then again, we thought those things about like the cutout camera, and then they gave us Dynamic Island, and it's like, oh, they found a way to take a relatively mundane hardware change and turn it into a unique software feature. So we don't know what the software end of this was going to be or how it's going to work.
So the iPhone 16 is expected to be revealed this fall, but we're also getting rumors about the iPhone 17.
Already.
iPhone 16 is not already. 16 is not even here yet. We already have rumors about the iPhone 17.
Are you new to this business room?
We should start some iPhone 18 rumors. Why not? What have we got to lose?
I mean, there are some, if you look. I mean, it talks about this feature is 2 years away or whatever. So they're always out there.
Yeah. This rumor comes from Ross Young. He's kind of keeps his eye on the supply chain for display technology. He posted on X that the iPhone 17 Plus could have a smaller screen than what is usually used on the Plus model iPhones.
Yeah, it's a strange rumor.
Is it appreciably smaller? Like if it's
right, it could be a tenth of an inch.
Yeah,
and you wouldn't notice
like a tenth of an inch diagonally is not on a diagonal measurement. It's the same phone. Like
it could also be he's getting his lines crossed. I mean, we'll get into this next week, but he reported last week that the iPad Air was going to get the 12.9-inch iPad Air, the new model, was going to get a mini LED display. And then today he reported that that's not actually going to happen. So, you know, he's not always 100% accurate. Sometimes supply chain things, lines get crossed, things get confused in the translation. So something about the iPhone 18 that he's seeing now, I wouldn't put a ton of stock into it. We reported it because it's interesting that Apple would go backwards, which they don't generally do with screen size. It could signal that they're going to add another phone, maybe an ultra model that has a higher end. Like there's different things that they could do. Maybe the SE model becomes part of the line. And so, that changes the way the shakeups of the screens are. But I mean, I don't know. It's 2 years away. I mean, who knows?
You know, yeah, if it's next year's phone, then it could be, if he's seeing orders or potential orders for phones for next year, it could be about the SE. And not that.
It could be that too.
17.
Sure.
It's just a 2025.
Yeah, he famously predicted that 27-inch iMac was coming, and then it turned out that was the studio display, which is essentially an iMac, but it's not. So, you know, he's just looking at parts. So not to say he's reporting misinformation, but sometimes the information is a little fuzzy a couple of years out or even a year out.
Yeah, he tries to come to conclusions based on the information that he has access to. Sometimes he's off, but
it's interesting nonetheless.
Yeah, but he's also quick to, I guess, correct himself when he gets more information. So while the screen for the iPhone 17 Plus, the reports may not necessarily add up, What does add up is the new calculator that we could see in Mac OS and iPad OS.
A math-related
transition. A math transition.
It's shocking to me how this was news to everyone. Like this became news on everyone. Apple's finally going to do a calculator for iPad. And it just goes to show you how ridiculous it is that there isn't one.
Yeah,
that's right.
But yeah, that this is a story. Tech company puts a calculator app on future product, and it's everywhere. Biggest tech company in the world. Right.
Yeah.
It's absolutely absurd that there's no calculator app. That was an interview with Craig Federighi was interviewed by Marquise Brownlee, I don't know, last year, the year before, I forget. And he said, so he asked him, like, why is there no calculator app? And Federighi gave a typical Apple answer. He's like, well, we don't really have anything to add to the space, and we want to wait to do it until it could be like a wow moment. It's like, dude, it's a calculator. Like, it's a utility. Just put it on the – it doesn't have to be a wow. It's just there, like the weather app. Like, it's sometimes you just want to look at it, type a couple numbers, and send it away. Like, it doesn't have to wow me. Just give me it. So I don't have to pull my iPhone out when I'm on my iPad right. And I need to do an equation.
And now he's set them up where
– Right. That's right. That's
now
right.
When it comes out, if it's just a calculator and it has
it's like going to be a calculator. Like what could it possibly do?
If it just has like regular and scientific mode, if it doesn't do something impressive with like graphing or some other kind of really impressive thing that you go – oh, I see why they had to have
now this. Now I know idea. Why it took 14 years.
Right. Or they just didn't. I mean, obviously, whatever it is, they could have developed years and years and years ago. But like something where it's like a bright idea and you go like, oh, they had this idea. And until they had this idea, they didn't want to make it. Because otherwise, like what the?
Yeah, what the
hell? And it's not going to be. There's not a chance that we're going to use it and be like, oh, they thought of something clever that nobody else has done. It's going to be a calculator.
Like, would you release Mac OS without a calculator? Like, it's a crazy notion to say we're just not doing it. No. You're going to have to get a third-party one, either buy it or get it free or whatever you want to do, but we're not going to give you the most basic utility on a computer. It's like – it's been on personal computers since the dawn of time. Like, that's what they're for.
The first Mac, everything. Like, I mean, there's that whole story about them with the calculator on the first Mac and like Steve Jobs not being happy with how the buttons looked or something. I mean, there's like a whole thing about that. I mean, that's like part of it. But ever since they had slide over, that seemed to me to be the time. Like, as soon as they got slide over, I'm like, slide over should by default have a calculator right up top.
Not calculator.
Because
like I get, maybe you don't want to take over the whole screen. Right.
That's you just
right.
Want to slide something window. In, do your calculation. It's got a little ticker tape of like past things. And then you just tap to copy, slide it away. Now watch the new calculator, whatever it is, not support slide over. You just watch.
This new calculator on iPad OS. Well, it could have some new features according to reports. I think one of the main new features is that it'll have a history tape so you can look back at previous calculations.
That's a fairly standard
computer calculator thing these
days.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, it's nice. It's nice that they're adding it and hopefully it'll also be on iPhone, you know. Hopefully they're building
it new. Will it have numbers? A number pad maybe?
They're supposed to have some new conversion features, which that'll be handy. The Mac version is going to get an upgrade, and the redesign is supposed to make it resemble the iOS version more. So,
yeah.
And then the big feature that everybody is waiting for is that it will have a resizable window.
Hmm.
So you can make you can adjust the size of the calculator itself.
Yeah.
Well, that's the Mac one. Will.
Right, the Mac one will. Mac. Yes.
Unless it's in Stage Manager, it doesn't really affect.
I have to imagine that this is that the iPhone's going to get most of these features as well, and that the whole thing is that they're just building a unified calculator app that has different default views for, you know, Mac or iPad or iPhone, and
yeah, it's clear that they're making a unified app. They're going to, and then they're finally going to just going to distribute it across their platforms. That's basically what they're going to do. So there's also reports that the Notes app on the Mac side is going to get some upgrades. It ties into the calculator in that it will support a new feature called Math Notes. So you can do math notations within the Notes app.
Yeah, proper math notations. If you do anything beyond arithmetic notations, Notes struggles. If you start doing calculus and those sorts of things where you've got brackets and things above them and things below them and all that stuff, it just, there's no, Notes just does not handle any of that.
And also, the Notes app is supposed to support voice memos now. So it will have an interface that kind of resembles the iOS voice memos app. And then you can bring in, or you can record directly in the Notes.
Yeah, and they should be objects within your Notes, the same way you can have a PDF or a photo or something like that that's in the Notes, but you also have text and everything in line. It would be like that. You just have a little module with a little thing. They didn't talk about this, but I gotta imagine transcription of voice memos in Notes is going to be a thing
for sure. Yeah, the Pixel phones have been done that for a little while with the Recorder app, and it's pretty handy if you do a lot of interviews, if you, you know, students, journalists, whoever. Yeah, that would be a great feature built into the Notes app.
It sounds like basically that Apple is trying to compete more with Microsoft OneNote. I'm not a OneNote user. Are you guys OneNote users?
No, I used Evernote. I tried OneNote for a while. I was a big Evernote fan for a while just because it kind of synced on all my platforms. But then the Notes, the iOS / Mac OS / whatever Notes, it's good enough now. And it syncs up and everything to where I just use that. It's certainly not worth paying for any other Notes platform or going and downloading a big, robust OneNote thing to get this done.
Yeah, same here. I used Evernote for the longest time, and then I just started using Apple's app. I think I still have Notes on there. I should go back and look.
I wonder what mine are. Yeah. It's a paid service that's really for power users now. Like, I just wanted it because it was a great way to do simple notes that synced on all my platforms. The way Apple Notes worked was kind of clunky. I think that was back when they were in their skeuomorphism kick, and I didn't like the way it looked and everything. And, you know, now it's pretty robust. They got formatting options. You can throw your images or PDFs in there, whatever you've got to do. Search works good. It's all encrypted. It's all synced. I don't need anything more from a Notes app.
And finally, if you're on the road a lot, you might be happy to know that some hotels now support AirPlay.
Mm-hmm. I was actually wondering where that one was going. Yeah. I wasn't sure. Well,
that was the thing. That's basically it.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it.
Some hotels support AirPlay now.
Yeah. Yeah.
My son had spring break recently. We went to Pennsylvania, and we were at a hotel, and they had Chromecast built into the TV. And I got to tell you, man, I could not get it to work. And I think of myself as fairly technology-minded. I tried for like 20 minutes. I was like, forget it. Like, we're just going to have to. We were trying to watch a baseball game that I had on the phone because we subscribed to MLB, whatever it is, MLB season pass, whatever it is. And we just couldn't. Like, I just forget it. Like, we're just watching it on the phone.
Yeah, I don't think it's officially supported because it's the way Chromecast has to go over Wi-Fi, and it's your Wi-Fiing. The TV and your phone have to be on the same Wi-Fi, and they're not going to find each other, or they're not going to talk right and everything.
I mean, it was, and the screen came up, and then all the numbers came up, the pairing codes came up. It just, nothing went on the screen. It just wouldn't work. So I'm hoping this is better. I assume it is, but you know, there's like four hotels that support it, so it has to roll out a little bit more first.
Yeah, I think it's 60 hotels starting. It's from IHG, which is like a big chain that does, they do Intercontinental and Holiday Inn and Candlewood Suites and Staybridge Suites and all this, you know, the bunch of brands. Holiday Inn's the biggest one here in the US. It's only US, Mexico, and Canada and 60 hotels right now, but there'll be more. Part of the limitation about why this isn't in more places is because LG is providing the TVs for this. They have the only TV with direct AirPlay support. Yeah, anything else you want to AirPlay to your TV, you've got to do it through your Apple TV hardware or something. So AirPlaying video straight to your TV is like an LG thing. So they're going to supply the TVs for this stuff. And then there was a software thing on Apple's side where to make a private connection to these TVs with like a QR code. The QR code will be up on the main screen and you point your phone at it. And that's how you connect.
That's what the Google thing was too. I did the QR code. I went to a website, typed in the pairing code, click share. You know, it was fairly straightforward, except it didn't work.
I don't know that you'll need a pairing code for these or not. The QR codes are all supposed to be unique to the individual TV and all that stuff, but we'll see how it works. When it's just now rolling out, it's one of those things that it needs to be kind of everywhere. So the fact that it's kind of like an LG thing also right now is not good news. Like LG wanted to hype it up. They wanted to put me in touch with their like PR, their marketing person who wants to talk about like LG's commitment or whatever. And I'm just like, yeah, but this needs to be in every hotel room with every brand TV. I know you want every hotel to go buy an LG TV, but that's not going to happen.
They are pretty big in the hotel world. Like I'm going to say 70% of hotels I've gone to have an LG. It's either LG or Samsung.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of
LG. That's just like everywhere. It's all LG or right. Samsung.
That's anyway. That's true.
These days, like where you're getting your TV entertainment, the hotel remote is not suitable for – it's not how people watch TV anymore. You've got your streaming services and you're 4 episodes in on this series and you've got to log in. So you want it to know that it's your account you're watching, or you're going to watch YouTube or, you know, whatever. And so driving this all from your phone and just being able to watch the latest episode of whatever you were watching before on your TV, that's the way to go. I can imagine once I stay at a hotel that does this, I would never use anything else.
Yeah. And I don't know what, or who is buying those like still in theaters movies, but they're like $17.
Yeah.
And terrible quality. And, you know, like, yeah, this is, if you want like a benefit to stay at a certain hotel, this is a pretty good one. If I had a choice between 2 similarly priced hotels and one had AirPlay and one didn't.
Yeah, God, especially if you have kids and you know what your kids' entertainment is, it's on your phone or your iPad. For them, you've got it queued up. You've got your playlist. You don't have to find something. You don't have to flip through the channels of stuff you don't mind. I want them to see the local news that you don't want to look at and stuff.
But there's so many of these features that were announced, sound great, and then they come out like this in a limited capacity, and then like they never get expanded to the way
Jim Kit. Jim Kit says hi. Yeah,
Jim Kit's one of them. Yeah, like for yeah. Sure.
That sounded awesome. And I'm like, man, I can't wait to go to the gym and just tap my watch to the exercise bike. And it'll know I'm on an exercise bike and that I've started and like what my resistance is and all that other stuff. But my gym didn't upgrade to those compatible bikes and they're not gonna. Whenever they replace their bikes, it's not going to be one of those.
I have a Peloton at home and it does have that. About a month ago, maybe a few weeks ago, they announced that they were going to change to their own proprietary service. And people like freaked, like, well, no. Like, so they backtracked and like, all right, we'll keep it with ChipKit. Because as far as I know, it's one of the few devices that use it and it works great. I get on the bike, I tap my watch, everything's there. It's fantastic. A little thing popped up on the screen with my metrics. It's awesome. But like new equipment is needed.
Is this I guess what you're saying is the hotel thing going to end up like Gym Kit? Is it going to end up in
right.
150 IHG hotels? And then 5 years from now, it's just a unicorn if you find one that has it.
Or like this isn't Apple's fault, but the digital licenses, it's in like three states, and it never became, never hasn't caught on with the rest of the country yet. Like they're ahead of the curve or on the curve for a lot of these things, but you know, they need help.
That one's especially annoying because Apple, though they announced it, like these licenses and wallet and stuff like that, there's an ISO standard they're following for these things that is not unique to them. Like, so they didn't come invent some proprietary thing that nobody else can do. They're following an ISO standard saying, well, we're including this in wallet. And then states like California, which has our digital IDs, we're just like, oh no, we're going to go do our own app with a third party company who's going to make a crummy app and then have to pay them to support it all the time and all this other stuff. Oh, it's just so frustrating.
That does it for this episode of the Macworld Podcast, episode 881. Thanks to Jason Cross.
Thank you.
Thanks to Michael Simon.
Thank you, sir.
And thanks to you, the audience. Thank you for tuning in. You can subscribe to the Macworld Podcast in the podcast app, on Spotify, or through any other podcast app. Do you have any comments or questions? Send us an email at podcast@macworld.com. Or contact us through X, that's at Macworld, or on Threads, that's at Macworld_HQ, or on the Macworld Facebook page. Join us in the next episode of the Macworld Podcast as we talk about the latest in the world of Apple. See you next time.